one that was the seed plot of what we're going to look at this weekend. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And this is what it says, "Be ye therefore," in the Authorized King James Version, it says, "Be ye therefore followers." But other translations, newer translations, say "Be ye imitators of God as beloved children." And I thought that that would be a great theme verse to set the stage for what it means to be a Christian on the road to excellence. To be the beloved children of God. What a wonderful expression that is. Galatians tells us we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are a child of God. John chapter 1 tells us, "As many as received him," received the Lord Jesus Christ, "to them gave he the power or the right to become the children of God." But to remain a child, to remain an infant, to remain a babe is an unhealthy situation. If naturally in life you encountered a child who had not grown, who had not progressed over time, you would realize that something is gravely wrong. Recently there was a post on the internet, some website, some child, some person who lived 16 years would had a genetic defect in which her development was completely stunted. And we all look at that and say, that is abnormal. But here, I want to suggest that there is a real challenge for all of us who say that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior if we are not progressing, if we're not growing. And so Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 says, the goal and the objective that I want for you who have known the grace of God, chapters 1 through chapters 3 and parts of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul takes a great deal of effort to talk about the grace of God that answers to God's purpose and his design, which he had in his mind and his heart long before the world was. And he says, I want you, in light of all that grace has done to transform you, to lift you up, to raise you up when you were dead in trespasses and sin, to raise you up and to seat you in the heavenly places in Christ. He says, I want you to realize that because of your position and your place that I brought you by grace, there is something I want you to realize. I want you to become and progress and to become my imitators. I want you to imitate me. Now that is a very tall order. That is a very tall challenge from the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God. What does it really mean to think about what it means to be an imitator of God? To be an imitator, one must first understand and look at the original. In order to imitate, I must look at the original. I must examine the original. I must explore the original if I'm going to be a faithful replication or an imitation of it. Just want to make one more comment because before I go on, both Nader and Dave made the suggestion that you get a pen and paper out because I'm going to be throwing a lot of text and a lot of verses at you without going into them, but I want you to write them down. In a conference like this, I can only give you and we can only give you some things that you have to go home and explore for yourself. So please, if you have a pen and paper, I want you to write these things down because I'm going to go through them pretty rapidly because we're on a very tight time schedule. So when we say that we need to be imitators of God, we have to examine the original. So who is God? What is God like? And if this mandate from the Spirit of God is to be realized, is to be followed, in my mind, it creates a conundrum. It creates a problem for us to have to think through. Wait a second. God, if I am to be an imitator of God, but God is transcendent. As we sing in Sunday school, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God can do. Is that what God is asking us to imitate? No. Because he can't. He is transcendent. He is so much different than what we are. He is so much other. Romans 11 tells us all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways finding out. God is so transcendent, we can't be like him in that way. God is infinite. So how can you and I, who are finite, imitate the infinite? These raise questions. And we have to contemplate those if we're going to be honest with ourselves and seek to follow through on the instruction and the commandment and the injunction to be an imitator of God. So we want to take up this morning is the fact that the only way you and I can fulfill this instruction given by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul is that we cannot imagine what God is in our own minds. We must understand who God is and how he has presented himself and has revealed himself in the Holy Scriptures. And what God gives us in the Holy Scriptures about himself, it's not that he tells us exhaustively about himself because he's transcendent. We don't have the capacity to take in all that God is, but what he does tell us in the scriptures is exactly explicit and it's trustworthy. And I want you to understand that difference. When God reveals himself, he doesn't reveal all of himself because we don't have the capacity to take it in. But what he does reveal is exact and explicit that we can comprehend and respond to it. So unless he reveals himself, we would not know how we can study the original in order to be faithful imitators. And so in the scriptures, God reveals himself in many ways. I'm just going to list off a bunch of them, and they follow this format. God is, and then there's a descriptive word that tells us what God is like, or what God is. And so I'm going to go through them really quickly, and this is why you need a pencil and paper to capture all of these. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible tells that God is a consuming fire. That's also duplicated or replicated in Hebrews chapter 12 where he says God is a consuming fire. And we don't have time to go into each of these, but I want you to write them down. And when you get a chance to go over them and look at them and say, oh God, reveal yourself to me through the text of your word. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, it tells us that the Lord our God is one. One of the most important doctrines in the Christian faith is that God is one, yet he is three. Three in one, this triune God. The Lord our God is one, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 10, it tells us verse 14 that God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, great and mighty and awesome. God is awesome. By the way, young people, awesome is used a lot in our culture, in our time. Reserve that for God and him alone. Job chapter 36 verse 5. Job is contemplating all the circumstances that's going around in his life and he says, God is mighty. That's Job chapter 36 verse 5. In Job chapter 36 verse 26, he tells, God is great. In Psalms 116 verse 5, it tells us that God is merciful. Daniel chapter 9 verse 14, God is righteous. In Nahum chapter 1 verse 2, and also repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 24, it tells us that God is jealous. And I want you to really think about that one because it's been, if you paid any attention to recent history in the media, this is misunderstood. God is jealous. And what that tells us, just as a sidebar, when God is jealous, that means his love for his children has to have no rivals. He has no rivals. His heart and his love for you is so great that he doesn't want anything to rival it. That's what jealousy really means.